open up the champagne. Pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Gives me great pleasure to say hello there to Matt Wilhelm.
Hello.
Back.
I am back.
Mateo is back with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Obviously, I think this week it goes without saying. We can still talk about the Cavs. We can talk Browns if you guys want to as well. We'll really start to get into our offseason review and our look ahead to training camp and the season probably next week. But obviously, we can talk about that if you guys would like to today. Real question for you I got is Gibbs. Parade, Wilhelm Parade, me Parade. Let's talk about our experiences, what we thought of it, etc. Gibbs, I was there all day and had a day that I can only compare to like Las Vegas. I mean, it started early, it ended late, and it was for me one of the most fun days that I've had, and I couldn't have been more proud or excited to be a Clevelander. And I'm going to call myself a Clevelander. I wasn't born here, but I've lived here 15 years as an adult, most of my adult life. So I'm going to go ahead and say that I was here, and it was just a great day for the city. I mean, you can get into the logistics of it if it was, you know, should there have been barricades and how slow it was and this, that, whatever. But I think all in all, I had one of the more fun days I've ever had in this city yesterday, and I certainly thoroughly loved it. What did you think, Gibbs?
Oh, I thought you were going to Wilhelm first.
No, Wilhelm, I know he was there. I wanted to ask you because I know you were down there, and then we're going to get
Wilhelm. Wasn't Wilhelm at the parade yesterday?
I was not at the parade.
He was not.
Really?
He was not. But he soaked in, so we're going to get three different perspectives. I was like a full-on parade party goer. You were working, but down there, and then Wilhelm soaked it in at home.
It was a long day. I perfected the farmer tan yesterday. There's no question about that. So, you know, I mean, when you're working something like that, you basically have your one assignment, and you go to that spot, and then essentially you're stuck in that spot because of how many people are there.
Sure.
So my job was to cover the rally, you know, to get in and get set up and get your spot and everything for the rally, which is right in front of the stage for the media. I had to be there at 9 a.m. Well, the parade got delayed, and then the parade became a five-hour marathon.
Yes.
So literally, by the time they took the stage at like 4 o'clock, 4:30, I'd been waiting there for 7 hours.
Okay.
In a spot with no shade, no chairs, no food, and no beverage. Luckily, I knew that was going to be the case going in, and I packed myself like 3 or 4 waters, a couple granola bars, and an apple. That's what I ate and drank yesterday.
Key. Yeah, hydration was key.
And that was still not enough, especially once the sun came out about 2 o'clock. It was a long day. I mean, it's just it's one of those, like, even on the parade route, you know, we had people at the start of the parade route. Well, that's great, but they're not able to do anything else once the parade passes them because there's nowhere you can walk. There's nowhere you can go.
Yeah.
You know, we had guys along the parade route taking pictures up high. Like, they were stuck there until it was over. And then it's you're not getting to the rally. You're not walking over to the rally because there's that many people. It's like I said the other day. You had to pick one. You were either going to the rally or you were going to the parade.
Correct.
You couldn't do both.
Correct. Absolutely. And I think you're exactly right about that. All right. So give us not quickly. Take as much time as you want, quite frankly. It's great to have you back, Matt.
Thank you.
Wilhelm.
It's good to be back.
What did you think of the parade from the TV standpoint? What did it look like, just the mass of humanity?
It was amazing, and ironically, the night before the parade yesterday, which would have been Tuesday night, my wife and I were battling. I don't want to say battling, like fighting.
I thought you were going.
It's like we're not going, and we just kept. That's why I called you. I wanted more perspectives on how are people getting down here, because I don't want to be the one that, like, I think I'm taking the route less traveled, and I'm actually thinking like 100,000 other people, you know, and being stuck. My fear was getting down, not being able to get down there, A, or getting down there and not being able to get a good spot and missing a lot of it had it moved fairly quickly.
Which it did
and not. Then B was getting down there, getting a spot, and not being able to get out of town. So all of those were kind of my fears. And I was and this goes back to our show, what, a year and some change ago about, am I going to the national championship game? Am I going out to see Ohio State, Alabama?
You don't roll out the red carpet. You don't get Willie.
It's like, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah,
I've been to my own parade.
You've been
multiple
yes,
times.
Have.
I've been to the White House. You know, so it and it was good as a Clevelander to celebrate it, and I just didn't have to be there dealing with the situation. And ironically, you know, we were going to take the kids, and I told my wife, I go, hey, we're going to be probably 6, 8, 10 people deep. I'll see everything. Whatever kid's sitting on my shoulders, probably going to see everything. You and the other kid, going to see nothing.
Nothing.
So if you want to be there, let's go have a long day. But if not, I mean, we went over to our friend's house, the Otts. They opened up the pool. Kids were swimming. They're like, oh, start of the parade. Cool. It's taking forever. We saw LeBron. Let's go swim for 2 hours. I actually took a break and went and swam for an hour, came back in, had a great lunch. We cooked on the grill. And then, you know, all the adults kind of sat around. Kids, you know, watched the celebration. But I was in my air conditioning. It was controlled. And I just know, even in talking to some of the people that went down there who did everything they could to have prime position and still not get prime position, way too long, stayed way too late to try and take it all in, and did it with kids. And it was like, you know, my kids were troopers, but they're not the happiest campers, and neither are we.
Yeah, like, I think that you had to go into it with a collegiate or Vegas mindset. And if you had kids, you obviously couldn't do that.
Right.
But
it's what I said the other day. If you have kids under the age of 10, probably not the best idea to take them.
Yeah, because first
of all,
it's not safe.
If you're over the age of 65, you're probably better off not going.
It's not so safe, right? With, a million people anywhere.
Exactly.
There's problems. You brought up the point when I called you about, you know, people down at the queue on Sunday night not being able to communicate. And I go, if we're trying to meet up with people, my wife and I, my son has to go to the restroom. I go one way. My wife, you know, even though she's going to say, I'm going to stay right here. You know, things change when you leave each other for, it's like not being able to speak to each other, text each other, those things. Those are all issues that, you know, drive parents. The world's crazy enough. And that's how I kind of felt. All in all, I saw everything I needed. But on television, I will say that Stipe Miocic, you know, starting the parade off, you know, Gene,
awesome.
Thad Matta, and Urban, and the Ohio State Marching Band, and then, you know, the Lake Erie Monsters on their float, the Gladiators had their float. So early when it took off from the queue and it was moving, I was like, this is going to be awesome. Because cameras are everywhere, people are everywhere, and when it was moving, it was actually cool. They were going from float to float, back to float, so on and so forth. And then, like, when it became, you know, cops on horses trying to get people moved back with, you know, 30 cops ahead of those horses also trying to move people, you know, back, it was like, this is going nowhere fast. Okay, love LeBron, awesome, saw you in the Rolls. I've had enough now. Okay, I don't need 3 hours of LeBron in a Rolls Royce, you know, waving to people with a cigar in his mouth. Cool. But even furthermore, I just, to talk about it in general, had it gone off the way it was supposed to, would have been awesome and fast. I thought the celebration was great. I loved that even though these are professional players that make a lot of money, who in some cases, and I know they're celebrating a championship, after maybe 2 hours, probably would have rather been another place. But they embraced the one point, however many million people were there.
Yeah, they did.
You know, the shirtless Mo Williams, the shirtless Shumpert, the J.R. Smith no shirt with the Vans and the game shorts. And then even seeing them sitting, you know, behind on the podium. And you and I talked about it before we jumped on air. It's like, these guys actually like, I mean, I'm sure that a couple guys might not be the best of friends on that
sure.
team, but all of them get along. And you could see that, the little snickering with little inside jokes and little comments and Richard Jefferson splashing the water on the young guy. It just, all in all, it was a very good day for Cleveland.
It was. And so this was kind of my approach to it. And I had a very different experience from, you know, the kid who was on the show, who's always on with us, enjoyed it, but didn't have a great time. And I was like, well, you needed to be day drinking. He's like, I don't day drink. So I kind of looked, the way that I looked at it was, I knew we didn't have to do this show. This was a once in a, you know, who knows, could be a once in a lifetime thing, Cleveland. I hope that it isn't. And I don't think it will be, but I wanted to go and experience, because I didn't get to be down there Sunday night. And I thought that would have been pretty neat. So I went in Tuesday night, stayed downtown, got up a Wednesday around 9:30. We started drinking right away. I had some vodka and Sunkist, like right out of the gate. And what I realized was I wanted to check out the parade route, kind of see where we would go. And so we walked up there, and I realized at this time around 9:30, if you got through the walls of people lining each night, you could just, they were letting people just walk up and down each night. And they didn't care about open containers or whatever. So I had my drink. I had a couple extra roadies in the pocket, you know. And so just kind of walked up and down East 9th and seeing all the fans and seeing everybody from Cleveland. And, you know, thanks to everybody who, like, said hi. And I took some pictures. And I just kind of, like, got really in the Cleveland spirit. And you could see everybody was just so happy and everybody was having a good time. So did that for probably an hour all the way down. We walked all the way down to St. Clair and then all the way back up East 9th. And then I was like, I got to start my day with Mario. I mean, if they're going to open 9 in the morning.
What better way?
Who would I be to not go in there? So I went in there, had a couple tacos and tequilas for breakfast, had a shot or two, got ready, and then met up with my good friends, the Monacos, who are by the Jim Thome statue out in front of Progressive Field, which turned out to be a great location because we were not – there was a ton of crowds. We were at the beginning of the parade where I still think the people in the parade were still into it, and we were able, as I was telling you earlier – we could walk from there to, there's a bar right over there that we could walk to. We could get drinks in between each float. We could go to the bathroom if we had to, get some food if we had to. So kind of stayed there till everybody went through till about, like, I guess 2:30 is when everybody had kind of gone through that area, which was crazy how slow it was. But it was also cool. Like J.R. Smith, the sign where he picked it up that said 2016 election said Trump, Hillary, J.R. That was right in front of where we were. So he picks it up. He's doing that. MGK's rapping with Bernie Kosar on his float. Like MGK and Bernie on the same float together. Was fantastic, and Tristan was there with Joe Hayden, and that was pretty cool, and, you know, we were just in a good spot, and everybody was just having fun, getting the confetti, and we were all kind of drinking, having fun, kind of keeping the energy, so it didn't seem long, and it didn't seem too hot to me, but I could have just been, you know, out of my mind, and then by 2:30 when they left, we went back into Mario for round two of tacos and tequila, which, why wouldn't you? So we did that, and then and I think you're so right, you couldn't do the parade and the rally. So we had talked about it. We ended up being like, let's just go watch the parade. So we went into the apartment and watched the rally from there, which was awesome because we got to really hear the speeches and get that sense of it. And then ended up just walking around town. And everybody I walked up to, if somebody, and you didn't know who it was, somebody came up to you on the street, was like, champions of the world, and gave you a high five. That was me. I probably did that to about 8,000 people as I walked from East 4th to the flats and back. Every single person I saw, champions of the world. And then some people wouldn't high five me. I'm like, it happened. We're champions of the world. It happened Sunday night. Wherever you've been. And then sometimes they'd come back and give me a high five.
My Sunday was, just to talk about, I mean, my experience, I was out in California.
Yeah.
And I'll have to say, coming back to Ohio, it makes me extremely happy. And we are a state full of pride for our teams. And having lived in California and understanding, you know, the Lakers in their prime and Kobe in his prime and championships happening. A majority of the state, especially in Southern California where I was, you're a Laker fan. Okay. Ironically, 5 years removed, you go back, the Lakers stink. I see no Lakers anywhere. Not anywhere.
All Warriors.
All Warriors. So that's a California to me, love the state, love the San Diego area, but you're a bunch of front runners, man, because I saw Curry jerseys everywhere and Curry t-shirts. And of course I took every opportunity to tell him how I thought, you know, we went to San Diego Fair. I was at Legoland. I was at SeaWorld.
Did you drop the name Stinks Curry on him?
I didn't. I said Buttersoft Steph Curry. I was like the phony MVP. But all in all, we had the opportunity, you know, my wife and I got married out there at the Hotel Del Coronado. We had dinner right across from Hotel Del, then walked over to the Hotel Del bar. So I watched the game. Vanessa was like, has like impromptu, like full on game over celebration that I didn't know she was filming me. I was just like, I was caught up in emotion. So, and I mean, the bar was half Golden State And I mean, half Cleveland fans, which is awesome.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm high-fiving strangers. I'm jumping up and down. I was kind of all by myself because, like, my two kids and, like, my wife, she wants Cleveland to win, but she's not passionate like I am, right?
Sure.
But it was just so cool to be, you know, back in San Diego in our element at the place we got married on Father's Day with my kids who got to see the hotel. We went out to the beach thereafter, took pictures. But I just still found myself probably every 30 minutes going, like, holy S-H. We're the world champions, and it's so cool.
Champions of the world.
And I kind of feel the same way as I don't say the same way as LeBron, but when I won my Super Bowl championship, you know, chip with Green Bay, it was like, you can't take that away now. It's like the ink is dry. The trophy's ours. It's like it happened, and life will happen again like it is for us. You know, you'll get on with your day, and that is something that you can constantly refer back. And it's almost like, 9/11, where were you
when it happened,
you know? And like I said, I had, you know, as much as I would have loved to be in Cleveland to hear the gunshots and the fireworks and the crazies running down the streets, you know, I was somewhere near and dear to my heart with my kids on Father's Day watching history. And that was just something that I will never forget.
Yeah, it was historic. And I think yesterday really continued it. And it was one of those days where I was just so proud of Cleveland. And you could tell that. I've been using the analogy of, you know, a bathtub with water, and say that the water in that bathtub represented Cleveland and how it felt about itself and how the world felt about Cleveland, and it was like half full. The Cavs winning the championship just filled that tub up, and everything in Cleveland has risen up with it. And it was just so cool to see it and be a part of it yesterday, and it was as fun as I've had in a long time. And, you know, people everywhere just cheering and high-fiving and hooting and hollering. And I passed out by like 10:30, which is the earliest I've been asleep in a long time. But it was just everything about it. I thought, could it have been done better? Could there have been? Of course, you can nitpick anything. But in terms of just the overall vibe, ambiance, the way people conducted themselves, the way the city conducted itself, it was spectacular. And we haven't even gotten to the rally, which we'll talk about when we come back. But, I mean, what great words. I thought LeBron's speech, and I'll tell you why, was one of the best ever. And profanity aside, I don't even want to have this debate with people. So if you want to call up and say he shouldn't, fine, he shouldn't have swore. I don't care. I really don't want to have that debate with people. Like, don't care. I really don't. I don't care. I have kids. I get it. I understand you don't want it to happen, but I don't care to talk about it at all. Let's focus on the good stuff that happened yesterday, and there were some unbelievable moments. So we'll talk about that. We'll take your calls, 216-578-0850. Our Ohio Business Machine Hot Topics of the Day. If you were at the parade yesterday, share it. Let us know what you thought of it. And I love how they ended it. What's next? What's next? What's next for these Cavs? Also, we want to know what the one piece of Cavs championship memorabilia you have to have. I know mine. I ordered it already. I can't wait. I saw so many people wearing it, and I was jealous because I didn't want to go stand in line for 8 hours.
What was it?
It's a teaser, bro. Yeah, he's hooked. You'll find out when we
return. I got my gear already, so I'm asking.
Well, we'll find out when we return, Matt Wilhelm. That's what you'll do on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm, and of course, Jason Gibbs. So the one piece of Cavs championship memorabilia that I have to have, and I ordered it, my good friends at Fanatics. I couldn't wait in the lines. I probably could have just gone and gotten it today, and I'd have it, but nonetheless, I ordered from Fanatics, and that was the caricature t-shirt.
They're awesome.
Reminds me of my childhood.
Me too.
I love it. I couldn't get enough of it. So that was the one. That was the one that I had to have. What's the one that you got or that you had?
I don't have it yet, but it is. I think it's been ordered. Is just the. I'm a hat guy, so I need to have. I have great friends of ours while we're in California. Like, they made the run to Dick's and waited in the line. So. Thank you. I'll name her Meredith Farrell for waiting in line, and she got like
Meredith.
She spent like $800 for herself, her kids, us, and then, you know.
I don't understand why people wait in line for the gear. Like, just wait a couple days.
Correct.
And you can walk in and get it.
Right.
I don't understand the whole waiting in line thing.
I agree. I would have loved to have been wearing it yesterday because it was like the parade day. But I mean, I'm over it.
It's kind of. It's almost like, why wait for an iPhone?
Down.
I don't know. Like, I see you,
uh-huh.
You know, what,
2 hours a day, you know, 2.5 hours a day. Why do I care for the 2.5 hours that you have the new iPhone or you don't, or that I don't and you have it, when I'm going to go back and live my life and then wait 2-3 days and have one then just like you?
Yeah, I hope you don't.
Right.
Yeah, don't stress it.
No, I'm not stressed. Oh, I love so you, what?
I love you no matter what kind of phone you have.
Right. And I'm not saying there's, you know, if people want to do that, they, far be it for me to tell someone what to do or what not.
I'll tell you what, though.
I don't get it.
I'd say 75% of the people that were there yesterday at this parade had the championship gear.
We have, so our whole family has the gray, the gray
people.
Locker room tee.
Okay.
Both my kids, and we
have
that.
With the trophy.
With the trophy.
Yeah.
The
gold, I don't like that shirt.
I like, it's a great shirt. And then the only hat that I was able to get was the wine championship hat.
Okay.
So it looks just like the black, minus, which I didn't notice until yesterday, was the black has the Larry O'Brien trophy on the side, the NBA logo in the back, where the wine just has what's on the front, you know, 2016 NBA champs and the C
and
logo.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The other thing we need to get, and I think it's just simply because it's historical, is the shirts that Dan Gilbert and the group was wearing, the black C in the front, like jersey shirt.
Oh, that one's pretty cool.
You know, it's just the T with just the C, but it's essentially the shirt that led us back from 3-1.
I got the caricature shirt. I got the one, the LeBron one, where it's his arm holding
the ring
out.
Yeah.
And the
Kyrie
black
wore
Nike
that
one,
yeah,
which is pretty sweet. And then I got a Kyrie jersey, of course, because I'm a jersey guy.
Sure.
But it's got the 2016 with the trophy is the 1-16, and it's black with the C. It's like a special jersey. I don't know if it's – I think it's kind of ugly,
anyone,
but it's
did you catch
awesome.
It, you probably caught it on Twitter. I think I caught it on Bleacher Report yesterday, was the puzzle – and it's my screensaver.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
The Larry O'Brien trophy puzzle that the team was
like
secretly using to fill in. Yeah, and the fact that the 16th piece was the state of Ohio.
So cool.
And what's so cool is, and this just goes to show when a team truly connects with what they're winning this for. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, is LeBron the only Cav from the state of Ohio?
Gibbs? I believe
off the cuff.
I believe so.
Off the cuff. Okay, so LeBron is LeBron, and LeBron is our MVP, and LeBron means everything to us. But to get a team so motivated, you know, about bringing that championship back that you get, you know, JR from, you know, Jersey or New York City, wherever he's from, motivated to bring a championship to Cleveland, and Channing Frye and wherever he's from, you know, California, to bring that here, and Kyrie from Australia, then obviously, you know, going to Duke, so motivated. It goes to show how this team embraced how starving this Northeast Ohio, state of Ohio, is for a championship here in the Cleveland area. And they were playing for that, so much so that you do something like that. So the symbolization that the 16th win was the state of Ohio meant, because it could have just been another puzzle piece, you know?
Yeah.
But they went out of their way to make it that, to make it special.
Oh, and special indeed it was. And one thing, we're going to take some calls in a second here. I'll get in when we have a little bit of a lull. I'll get into my thoughts on LeBron's speech and why it was so great. But this is something that I was really pondering and couldn't come up with a bigger duo. And I just tweeted it out, and I want people to think about this, and I want you both to think about this and give me your answers. Could any city in the country have a bigger or better passing of the torch than Cleveland did with Jim Brown and LeBron James? And I wouldn't even limit it to necessarily football and basketball, but that's what it was. But just two sports people from the same city, from different sports and different eras, that you could do a passing of the torch with.
Off the cuff, I'll say no. And the reason why is because I think both of these athletes are like transcending the sport type of players.
Yep.
Meaning Jim Brown is still, even by people outside the state of Ohio, called the greatest football player of all time.
Yep.
Okay. A champion. When you think Cleveland Browns, minus maybe Paul Brown, the first person you think of.
Yep.
Okay. I think LeBron, in reference to the entire state, might be from most famous athlete in the state of Ohio of any sports team.
Yep.
It's going to be LeBron James. Okay.
Yep.
Even now more so than Jim Brown. So I think it's the most appropriate, and the fact that the story that we've been starved that championship, and the last champion has now turned over, you know, the trophy to the new champion here in Cleveland.
Yeah, I was trying to think of it. So Chicago if you were to dial it up ideally, which obviously you can't because of, you know, Walter Payton's passing, but Walter Payton to Michael Jordan, but still only 80s to 90s and early 2000s.
It's not, not as profound.
But Jim Brown is, I think, the gap between Jim Brown and Walter Payton in, like, the lore of history and where they stand as overall players in their sport is greater than the gap between LeBron and Michael Jordan.
I agree.
So that was one I was thinking of. I was trying to think of, you know, Derek Jeter, but who would be the equivalent? Would it be Lawrence Taylor to Derek Jeter? That doesn't measure up. I really think, which is when you actually put it in that perspective and think about it, is that not crazier? I mean, Pittsburgh, somebody said, what about the Penguins? Pittsburgh would have, what, Mario Lemieux and Sidney Crosby, but that's two people in the same sport.
And not as profound.
And it's not as big.
Is there Larry Bird to
Tom Brady?
Yeah.
So Larry Bird to Tom Brady. Is that bigger, though? Is Larry Bird to Tom Brady bigger than Jim Brown to LeBron James? Now, that's more championships, for sure. But is it bigger? Is Tom Brady going to be considered? You can make the case that that's the closest, because I think when it's all said and done, Tom Brady is maybe the most successful quarterback in NFL history, could end up being considered the greatest of all time. So you could put him on the level with Jim Brown. And right now, I was having this debate with Vince Cotty for the show. I think LeBron's resume now is more impressive than Larry Bird's.
And just refresh me, what is Larry Bird's track record?
Oh, Larry.
No. I know it's long and esteemed, believe me.
Not as long as you would think, and I think that's one of the issues there. So here's Larry Bird, first-round pick in 1978 by the Celtics, three-time NBA champion,
okay,
two-times finals MVP,
okay,
three-time MVP, 12-time All-Star. So LeBron's already a three-time champion. LeBron's already a three-time finals MVP. He's already a three-time MVP. So I think that's that one. Scott Remeklus says L.A. Gretzky to Kobe.
I don't know, because Gretzky didn't start in L.A.
No, the Edmonton Oilers.
Correct. And I don't necessarily know. I know that I'm not, and it may be because I'm coming from the place that I'm not a hockey. To me, I think basketball, baseball, football. You know,
I do. Gretzky is the one person, though, that I would say, like, everybody knows Wayne Gretzky.
Correct. Yeah.
Would you say?
Yes.
So he transcends that.
He's the greatest.
But I think you're right. Like, to me, Mario Lemieux is Super Mario. And I know because we're of the area that we're in and how big he is. And I know Mario Lemieux is a big star. But, like, if you were to say, ask people to name one hockey player, I think Wayne Gretzky would win that in a landslide over Mario Lemieux.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's an interesting one. I think I don't know. That's what I said. So somebody came back to Walter Payton, Michael Jordan. I think that's possible, but I think that advantaged Cleveland.
I don't know. The more I think about that, the only reason why it would be tough to pass the baton is because of the era. It's the same era. Are you really passing the baton?
Right.
And
but Larry Bird to Tom Brady is different eras. That one works.
But, I mean, next to Jim Brown, Walter Payton's – what, one of the top – is he top two or top three?
Running backs of all time?
It depends.
He's got to be up
there.
Barry
Sanders, Emmitt Smith.
Chris Hamrock said, okay, forget Larry Bird. Now it gets interesting. Bill Russell to Tom Brady. Okay.
Pretty profound.
Okay.
And there's a reason that Bill Russell's there at every NBA Finals to give away the trophy.
There's a reason it's now MVP. Called the Bill Russell Award.
Thank you.
All right, that's the first one that I say, okay, I think
see,
that could be.
I think that Jordan's the greatest basketball player to ever play.
Okay.
And you could argue that Walter Payton might be one of the top five NFL players.
But here's the thing, though. When you look at the New England area, the Red Sox have won, what, two titles in the last decade?
Three, I believe now.
Three, okay. And have the Red Wings. That's Detroit. I'm thinking
the Bruins.
You got to look at the other team, you know. No, I think what makes this, I would think that's the closest that rivals the Bill Russell to Tom Brady. But the Celtics have won a champion. The Celtics have won a championship since with the Big Three, right?
Yeah.
The Patriots have won.
There's nothing where you have like the gap.
The gap is what makes. I mean,
but
you have two icons.
Yeah.
Passing the torch in a significant gap. Now had. You know, Bill Russell giving it to Brady
with no Red Sox
and no Celtics,
no Larry Bird. Larry Bird, it's the equivalent.
I think you're right. I'm just talking, trying to put it from, I think so far the best.
You're saying from legend to the best legend.
Right, like that's it's kind of amazing when you think about though that Cleveland could have maybe the best legend duo in the country, because now if Golden State went on to win this year as opposed to lose, and Steph Curry continued to do what he did and ended up having this crazy career, you could go with like a Joe Montana to Steph Curry.
No.
But he's
just because you like Montana, no.
But he stinks. He stinks Curry, and he didn't win. Out.
Who has 17 points in the NBA Finals? Talk about wilting under the pressure.
Who sits out in the fourth quarter? There were 6 timeouts between the two teams plus TV timeouts. I mean, absurd. Anyway, I think that's an interesting one, right? Isn't that crazy to think about the fact that it could be Cleveland? I mean, I think Bill Russell to Tom Brady is good. Walter Payton to Michael Jordan. I think those three, that trio to me is that's the best case that you've got so far. Right? I mean, definitely the best case you got so far. Like if Troy Aikman did it to Dirk when they won, that's not even on the same level.
No, I love more Dirk. Emmitt.
Yeah, or Emmitt. Fuck.
I don't think Emmitt Smith's that.
He's a leading rusher in the history of the league.
Yeah. I still think Walter Payton was a better player.
Did you see that parking garage where people were like standing themselves like in between the beams?
Yes,
like
that was absurd.
Is that crazy?
And the people were stacked on top of each other, which meant if you fell.
If one person fell, dude, it would have slid down.
It was like dominoes.
Not only that. But the people, did you see the people inside the free stamp?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
It was awesome.
And I watched Fred McLeod yesterday when we were waiting. Luckily, they showed the parade when we were waiting at the rally site. And Fred McLeod's interviewing some lady that's been sitting up in a tree on East 9th for literally 6 hours. She was up in the 10 feet up in the air. He's literally interviewing, like, what would it cost for you to trade spots with someone down here? She goes, there's not enough money.
Not enough in the world.
She's like, I'm staying up here. It's shady. People keep handing me drinks. Life's good. I'm like, she's been sitting in a tree since 7 a.m.
Amen, honey. Amen. That's an interesting one. That's something that we'll certainly ponder. I do want to talk about LeBron's speech because I thought – it was very special for one reason, and I'll talk about that when we come back, as well as take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. We'll get your calls, Jamie, Lynn, and the rest of you out there in the Dog Pound and, of course, Cavs Nation on CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm.
Yes.
Enjoy him while you got him.
Seriously.
Take advantage
of
the next hour and 18 minutes. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578. People are taking this way too seriously. Yes, I understand that Bird won a title in between Russell and Brady. I'm just talking about two icons of a city, like, being together, two sports icons from one city. The fact that Cleveland maybe has one of the best is pretty amazing. So that's all.
Yeah, and I think people, you know, they discount a lot of things about Cleveland because of the drought. And then to see them, those two come together, it makes you step back and go, whoa.
Yeah.
And then really think about it, which is really what brought this topic up to you.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Matt Wilhelm.
You're welcome.
For the quick clarification. Let's not overthink it. It's pretty a remarkable type of a situation. That's all I'm saying. Pretty remarkable. Anyway, 216-578-0850 and 216-578-0850. And we'll go to the phone lines now, and we will go ahead and get to Jamie in Chicago. Jamie, welcome.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thanks, bro. How you doing?
Euclid. I'm great. I listen to the podcast all the time here in Chicago. Can't listen to you guys live, so on hold was the first time.
Nice.
I've heard
Thanks,
you guys
man.
Live.
Thanks for calling
up. You do an awesome job keeping it interesting, and I devour all of the stuff that the Plain Dealer puts out, but you guys just add a great flair to it. So love, love, love the show.
Appreciate that.
And absolutely. And so in Chicago here, the only chance I've ever had to be a part of a championship was diverting my route home one night after the Blackhawks won the first time, and was high-fiving people on my motorcycle going down Lincoln Avenue, and it was amazing being a part of it for that little bit. And then I lucked out into tickets to from my generous brother and sister-in-law to the game six they won this last time, and I was there in the arena in United Center, and it was just unbelievable to be a part of that. I've kind of adopted that team. Don't feel like I'm being disloyal to my Cleveland team since we don't have hockey, and it was great. And it was just I wonder if it was just as amazing or probably more so since I wasn't able to be there for this. And I'm walking my dog a couple days later after the Cavs clinched it, and I'm just feeling like everybody in Cleveland can hold their head up just a little bit more. And not that they had a reason to hold it down, but there was a confidence level, as you guys know, how much sports means to the city. And so I'm just wondering, you know, do you feel that? Have you noticed that in the people you've talked to? And also, did you get any sense that there was the support around the nation, the way people sort of embraced Boston trying to get their first World Series after that drought? Because I didn't really hear that narrative. So I just kind of would love to hear you guys talk about that and either listen to it later on the podcast or I'll stay on hold. But just curious.
No, man, thanks so much for the call. Thanks for listening.
And I would say that to talk about his last point, you know, were the masses kind of in favor of Cleveland wanting them to end this drought? And I would say no. And the reason why is because not so much that people are in favor of the Warriors or Steph Curry or Klay Thompson. It was the odds. People were in favor of the odds. Everybody wants to root for the winner. And when, you know, the Warriors beat the Thunder and it became Cavs versus the Warriors, I thought, and the odds came out in Vegas, which we talked about on this very same show, about, you know, how deep of an underdog we really were. If you're neutral, you just naturally tip to the favorite.
Of course.
You know, but then there's those people, the grinders of the world that maybe are in favor of the story of LeBron being an Akron kid, coming back to Cleveland, making the promise, and wanting to see that fulfilled. But I would say it's easy to root for the favorite. It's tough to grind out and root for the underdog. And that also is what makes this so sweet.
Oh, yeah.
The whole, you know, and I think LeBron does not hesitate to say it. And if you've monitored, and I've been very, even in traveling, I'm very in tune to reading or listening or watching as much as I can about LeBron. And LeBron does not hesitate to say, first time NBA Finals history, down 3-1. He's had to say it a dozen times, you know. So he wants people to know that it means a lot and that he knows, you know, how difficult it was to do what they did.
Indeed. And as far as for me, yes, around the country, people are into it. I've gotten more notes from people outside of Ohio that I couldn't believe just how happy they were for Cleveland and for everybody here that the Cavs finally got it done. And, yeah, it was certainly special. What a special day. Sunday, what a special day yesterday, and what a great time for this city in general. Let's go now to Lynn in Mentor. Lynn.
How you guys doing?
Good, and you?
Good. I just wanted to say that I'm really proud of Cleveland. I wasn't able to make it down on Sunday. We had just come back from a long weekend, and I worked third shift, so I wasn't able to go to the parade yesterday. But considering it's been 52 years and everyone was so pumped up and the amount of people that were down there, there was no rioting, no fires. I mean, one damaged cop car and that poor girl got shot. But otherwise, it wasn't the disaster that I was anticipating when a championship finally came. And I just think everybody was so excited and so happy that there was no reason to, you know, burn the city down.
Yes, no, it was. I think everybody conducted themselves very well, all things considered. And that, you know, when that happened, you know, the reports of that shooting, I was on East 4th overlooking Euclid where the arcade entrance. And all of a sudden you're looking outside and people were sprinting out of there with a look of total terror on their face. And we were watching it happen and I was like, oh my God, something happened. Then you saw in the news, they reported that they were shooting. Unfortunately, it was just a shooting in the leg and not fatal, thank goodness. But I just remember watching everybody run out there, and you're like, oh man, something's going down.
We were leaving, you know, the rally had just ended, and we're walking by an officer, and there was like the police kind of set up command center for the rally was right behind the stage. We're walking right by it, and all of a sudden you just hear on one of the police loud radios, you know, one of the radios was turned up, and you just hear shots fired, you know, all available units to the casino public square. And I mean, cops were running because you couldn't drive anywhere. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, I need to get back to the station. I don't know what's going on, but this cannot possibly be good.
No.
And I mean, thank God. I mean, someone got shot, so obviously you're not thankful for that. But I mean, it was an incident, and unfortunately, it sounds like it was an incident involving a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old, which is pretty horrific in its own right. But I mean, luckily the girl's going to be fine, and they took care. They, you know, the cops got the guy who did this, and you know, I hope the kid is. I'd love to see him prosecuted as an adult, because if you're 15 and walking around with a gun on a day like yesterday, you got some serious problems to begin.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Yes. Totally agree with that. But anyway, all in all, tremendous, tremendous performance, which was wonderful to see from the city of Cleveland. And again, so proud to be a part of it and to share that with so many great Clevelanders. Let's go to Jim in Akron now. Jim, welcome.
What's going on, fellas?
How you
good,
doing,
man? How are you?
I was lucky enough to be part of history yesterday. Me and my buddy and his daughter, we even walked by the studio, and I was the guy that was pointing at the shorts because I was rocking the shorts special for kids.
Yeah.
But you know,
I was sitting in the studio. It's 8:15 in the morning. I'm tired already. And I get a knock on the window, and I'm looking, and he points down. I'm like, oh hell yes,
yes.
The Jort Report live and in person.
Yeah, I mean, it was, like I said, it was a long day. It was a hot day, you know, but I wouldn't have traded one minute of it. You know, just being part of history, you know, one of the biggest parades / you know, events, you know, definitely in Ohio and Cleveland history. And, you know, There were a few a-holes around that you know, got, you know, in tempers flare, but nothing really escalated except, you know, the one idiot that wanted to be a big man and, you know, pull a gun on somebody else. That's just ridiculous. But, you know, we just got to be proud of our team and you know, the whole event, seeing how the players just gave back, you know, seeing JR, you know, People want to talk a lot of crap about JR, but you know what? I really think that he really, truly believes that he feels like he's at home here. And, you know,
I agree with that.
He might do some things to make you scratch your head, but we all know when he starts making those threes, he can take over a game. And you need a guy like that. You need a little guy. You need somebody with some fire. And I truly believe that, you know, this is going to be the first of more parades, but nothing's going to be as big as this one. And, you know, hopefully in the near future it'll be the Browns. You know, I'm sure it'll end.
That's right.
But potentially might do it this year, but I do believe the Browns are going to be there sooner than later.
We all do, and that's what we all certainly want. And, yes, we would all very much look forward to that if that comes to fruition with the Browns getting that Super Bowl win. We'd love to have a parade like that. Brad in Westlake, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, what's up?
What's good, up, man? How you doing?
Hey, good. A few quick things that I wanted to share that I've been pretty much amazed with since our win on Sunday. First one being that I was amazed during the game that we kept responding and responding, something we really haven't seen in big games before. Cleveland finally closed, and they did it in style, which was amazing. I think Cleveland finally made a statement that the sports world took seriously, and I think we got some respect for it. And, you know, I was watching with my dad on this crappy little TV, and we connected like we hadn't done before in quite some time. And after the game, we blasted Queen. So it was just a beautiful moment. I'll never forget that.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
It was.
We are the champions.
And you know what I don't like? And I think as much as throughout this series, as Klay Thompson wanted to talk about LeBron and crying and all this other stuff.
He certainly did.
To have the audacity after you got your tail whooped at home twice, okay, for you to say, we still feel like we're the best in the world. Well, that trophy proves otherwise.
This says so. Yes.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it. That's what goes back to my point. It's black and white. You win or you lose. There's no ties. You're a world champion or you're not. So you're not the best in the world. Hit the high road and go, we got beat by the better team, We couldn't defend this title. It is theirs for the next calendar year. We hope you see you next year.
Exactly. We hope
Why? Why? And honestly, in the last two games, because I watched the Thursday night game and the Sunday night game, is they cried. Klay Thompson, you would imagine he's like a porcelain doll.
They did a lot of crying.
They did a lot. Every single time he touched anybody and a foul was called, it was like, huh, who, me?
Huh?
Like,
who?
That is, I don't like that. Because you don't play a physical game to begin with, Klay. Okay? And I'm not saying I don't like the LeBron cry face. It's almost like the Jordan meme. You know, I don't like that either, right? But at least you got a 6'9", 280-pound guy, you know, built like a brick house.
Yes.
Not getting calls.
Right.
Instead of your ticky-tacky, you know, three-point shooting stuff.
Right. Correct. Grow up, as you like to say.
Take it on the chin.
All right. When we come back, more phone calls, 216-578-0850. And eventually we'll talk about why I liked the speech yesterday from LeBron James so much here on CBD.